out in the face, just know that that murder is their anger. Anything could happen. When you start seeing it on the face, you better, because anything could happen from that facial expression. Most people kind of hide their anger, just kind of, you know, calm it down. Their countenance don't show it all the time. They can be angry. They can be, you know, but it doesn't. But when it starts showing on your countenance, trust me, that's an angry man, angry enough to kill.
It was wrapped in jealousy too, which is dangerous.
There you go. Very good. Very good. So we see these two brothers here, and you could say, well, he's a tiller of the ground. He could not have brought God a sheep. Yes, he could. He could have traded with his brother. Or his brother would have given. You know, it said, I'm not going to go that deep in that teaching there.
My mother taught me that.
Huh?
She showed me this story. She said he should have went to Cain. I mean, Cain should have went to Abel and bought the best sheep he could.
He could have. He could have. It was there for him. They both. Because let me tell you, Abel ate some veggies. Mm-hmm. Abel just didn't eat all meat. He ate veggies. Where did he get them from? Where did he get the veggies from?
From his brother. But they also knew that God had cursed the ground. So he was bringing sacrifice from a cursed ground.
We're finna get there. We're finna get there. The ground was cursed. And you know, later on, God started accepting food offerings. But this offering, what he was offering, should have been a blood offering. Should have been a blood offering. And he knew it, but he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go to his brother and get it. I mean, he just wanted to do it his way, the way he wanted it done. And it's no doubt Cain didn't have some good looking veggies.
Mm-hmm. You know? He thought this was better than his brother's, I guess.
Huh?
I guess he thought what he had was better than what his brother had, I guess.
Hey, that's good. That's good. He thought, hey, this just is good. I mean, you know, why do I have to do? And we have people like that now. They're questioning what the Word of God said. The Word of God said, pay your tithes. I don't have to pay no tithe. Why? I don't want to do that. They question the things about the Word of God. They don't want to do it. This is what I do, and why can't he accept this? But we see, and if thou dost well, shall not be accepted, and that if thou not well, sin lies at the door. And why do you have to deal with sin? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Here he was saying, if thou dost well, shall thou not be accepted? If thou dost not well, sin lies at your door. It wasn't accepted, so sin was at your door. So how you deal with sin, class? You shed some blood. Blood got to be shed. And it has to come from the right animal, okay? Because it represented the blood. It was type and shadow of who blood?
Jesus.
The blood of Jesus, okay? And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Let's read this again, because this is very important here. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. They had a conversation. What you think the conversation was about? Class, I'm asking y'all, what y'all think the conversation was about?
About the offering.
Come on, brother. Cain and Abel was talking about, I can almost hear Cain now. My vision looked just as good as your, why would he accept yours? And I mean, I don't want to give an animal. I don't want to kill an animal. I don't want to, you know. And they had the conversation between each other. It says, Abel, came as a prophet to him. That's over in the New Testament. I ain't got time to teach from that realm. When Jesus was telling them the story over in the New Testament, saying he sent Abel as a prophet to Cain. And they were talking. I mean, it was heated. Prophet was telling the man, I would give you a sheep. You know? Because over in the New Testament, he said he sent him as a prophet, Abel as a prophet to Cain. And Cain like, I don't want a sheep. I don't want a, you know. He was trying to help his brother. So guess what? After the heated discussion, what did he do to his brother? Let's continue to read. The word of God tells us. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He slew him. He was mad.
Well, there's jealousy and envy. There's confusion in every evil work.
That's true. And he was trying to tell his brother, man, just get the sheep and kill it. Come on, let's do it God's way. They had that conversation there because the word of God tells us they did. He said, I sent him to Cain to be a prophet to Cain about the offering. And he did not respect him. But he what? Slew him. And that's what they did to Jesus when Jesus came and tried to tell him the correct. They slew him. Okay. And he said, I'm skipping down to the ninth verse because my time is up. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? He wasn't asking him positionally where, you know, he was. It's the same question he asked Adam and Eve. Where are you? Where are you? He said, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Now, he had buried the body. But he's going to tell you, I don't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to keep up with my brother? I'm young. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth. It has a voice. Blood has a voice and it speaks. And we may not be able to hear, but God some way has the ability to hear blood. The voice of the blood. And he thought, I buried him. How could he hear his voice? It said his voice is crying out. Not just saying a little word. It's crying loud. My brother has killed me. Vengeance. Justice here. And God said, I'm going to have to deal with that, Cain. He said, you could have came to me. You didn't have to deal with it the way you dealt with it. But he didn't get rid of what thing? The anger. And the sin was at the door. Sin was at the door, he told him. Now, he had warned Cain. I mean, God himself warned Cain. He said, man, sin is at your door. Deal with that. Deal with that sin at your door. But he dealt with it through his brother, he thought. If I can get rid of the brother, I won't have to do animal sacrifice. I won't have to shed any blood because my brother. Okay, I'm way over apostle time. Okay. But getting back to the writer of Hebrew, who said the blood of Jesus speaks better things. Hebrew 12th chapter. The writer of Hebrews said, the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. You know, when it's talking about the sprinkle, that's what they had to do in the book of Leviticus. They had to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Now, before Jesus, could talk to Mary. He told her, you can't touch me because I got to go up and pour my blood out on the mercy seat. But let me tell you one thing. Mary wanted Jesus dead or alive. She said, you know, they kind of knew that he was going to rise again, but they didn't see that. She said, just show me where you laid the body. With her little bitty self, she's going to get the body and take it somewhere. She said, I want Jesus dead or alive. You know, I just want Jesus. And he sit there and he said he had to talk to her. He wasn't supposed to have been talking to her. He wasn't supposed to have been talking because he hadn't been up to pour his blood out. And Mary reached out to touch me, said, you can't touch me. I done broke all protocols. I'm talking to you. I'm not so supposed to be even talking to you, but you drew me. You drew your faith and your love has drawn me to speak to you. He said, but you can't touch me. I got to go up there and pour my blood out on the mercy seat. Not only was the blood shed here, but we have the blood back in heaven. You know, I always tell you, have two interceding for you, the Holy Spirit and Jesus. The Holy Spirit on earth and Jesus in heaven. But you got two. The blood is interceding for you too.
Yeah.
The blood and Jesus in heaven is interceding for you. And the Holy Spirit, I'm way past my time. Apostle, I make it up to you.
We're a beautiful choir singing, huh?
I didn't finish that. I didn't go where I wanted to go in there, but you got that little snippet that you can take it. That the blood is still speaking. If the blood is still speaking, you need to be speaking the blood.
Yeah.
You need to be saying what the blood is saying, I redeemed them mm-hmm. by the blood.
Yeah.
And it said, if you've been redeemed, you'll say something. You'll say something.
Yeah.
You'll open up your mouth and you'll say something. The blood is still speaking, so you need to be speaking too.
You need to talk right. You need to talk right.
Amen.
The scripture that says here, Paul was saying, you're babies again and you don't know how to talk right. Literally, that's what it says. Mm. But you don't know how to talk right.
When yeah, you, but the blood is speaking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blood is speaking. Out crying out for us.
For us, that's right.
And we need to really speak and say what that blood is saying.
When we receive God's word and speak it, it becomes ours.
Been forgiven and the sin's been taken care of.
Mm-hmm. When David read Psalm 104, Psalm 119, 104, verse 104, says, through thy precepts I get understanding.
What is your subject? Wait a minute. We kind of missed in kind of talking. That was very...
Psalm 119, verse 104. When David read this, it reminded me of something. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Mm-hmm. That became one of my confessions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you leave a false way in place, it can interfere with how you hear and receive his word. When the Lord is speaking, everything that he's done, the principles that he put in place, Cain got jealous over Abel because the Lord favored his offering was right. It had blood. It covered their sins. His was just vegetables and fruits, but when he killed his brother, that kind of, you know, he missed a point of redemption. But when you hate the false way, you can go forward. Everything that we do and everything that we say puts something in motion. Mm-hmm. And you know, Israel, they were at a point that they could have went either way. That's why it's so important for leaders to follow God. You can't do an impossible work without looking at him. That's where the rest is. That's where the peace is. If everybody would have been like Caleb and Joshua, Israel would have went and took that land.
We'd probably speaking Hebrew right now.
Yeah. I love this class. you're right.
We might be speaking Hebrew instead of English. But, you know, Laodicean church was at the same crossroad. They're neither hot or cold. They could have went either way. And Jesus said, repent, or I will spit you out of my mouth. He did spit Israel out of his mouth, 20 years old and up, except for Joshua and Caleb and Moses. Moses died because he had reached his limit of time. And the people that were number four, Caleb was number four, I think. These 12 spies, they could have went either way. But they forgot God and started looking at the problem. Amen. This shows us how dangerous that is. They cause people to doubt against God. Doubt is always antichrist. Doubt is always against God. Every form of doubt, unbelief is worse. That's rejection. That's saying, I don't want none of it. And I won't repent. that unbelief will. Doubt is a choice, and unbelief is also a choice. It's rejection, but it's a choice. Doubt is always against Christ. And we know that in chapter 14, they started murmuring and complaining. And then it said that, verse 1. This is Numbers 14 and 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. In order for them to lift up their voice and cry, it got in their heart. People speak from the heart.
That's true.
Even when people are serial killers and murderers, they want to know who they were talking to, because before they do something that drastic, it's in their heart, it's coming out of their mouth. And they started using that principle to catch people before they go berserk. Verse 2 says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, wish to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or wish to God we had died in this wilderness. And they said it boldly. This is the evil that got in their heart, because of what their leaders did. And then in verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? They were in fear and not love. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. And you know, Moses interceded. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunne, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. So they, you know, Moses interceded. Let me skip on down to verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. The spiritual debt that got on their life because they caused the people to go with doubt and murmur against God and Moses and Aaron, those men died. The 10 spies died. They held the truth in unrighteousness. This is so serious. See, the lukewarm church, that the reason the lukewarm church is lukewarm is because they look to the doubtful leaders. If we don't win, if we don't fight the good fight of faith, we can produce the same problem. We can't do it. See, when people look out there in the audience, I've noticed the way that people who, sometimes people keep, the only way to survive and do it right is to keep on looking to the Lord. When people start looking at the people, they they diminished the word of God. And I started noticing this when the Lord would, when I would read what Jesus said, and then hear things that's being taught, that was the difference. When I go before the Lord, when I was like 23, 24, I would go in the Lord's presence, and I would hear what he said to me. It was more like what Jesus said. But in church, it was more watered down. Not trying to talk about the people of God, but that's just the way it was.
Amen.
Sometimes they were on point. Sometimes they were not. And what happens is, if people don't study and go to the Lord for themselves, then they won't know. If they don't seek the Lord and go in his presence for themselves, and they let the pastor do all the work. Mm-hmm. The pastor's not supposed to do all the work. He's guiding you to do the same thing he's doing. Did you know that an apostle and the least of God's people preach the same message? When the apostle preached the message, what happens? The people hear it. The word, if they receive it, it gets in their heart. If it gets in their heart, it gets in their mouth. If it gets in their mouth, they preach it. They tell people what God said. The good thing is the message resonates. What message is resonating? Is it a doubtful disposition? Is it unbelief? Whatever the leader puts in motion, it ripples down. That's why James said that let us take heed to things which we teach. we don't want to receive a greater condemnation. The lukewarm church, when people prosper, that can, if you have to have maturity if you prosper. You have to have maturity before you prosper. And that comes from watching God. If that's not in place, a lot of things fall out of place. And the only way to not fall out of place is the living love of God. If you love his word, you'll do his word. If you're his friend, you'll do what he says. Obedience enables people to receive the anointing, receive sanctions and offices and things like that. God wants to give a lot of people his best, his offices and sanctions and assignments. But to protect them, he'll hold it back. Because once he give you the assignment, you got it. When God sanctions, I respect everybody who receives something from the Lord. It doesn't matter what office they hold, whether they have one or not. But when God is using them, I'm listening for the Lord. I have been blessed by people of all walks of life, different ages. When they say something that the Lord told them, I receive it as if it was Kenneth Hagin. It doesn't matter who it is. People will readily receive Kenneth Hagin because they looked up to him. All right. But the child that go in the prayer room and come back with a word, who did it come from? If you just see the child, you missed the point. You didn't see the body. You didn't discern the body. Some people, they're married to people that's anointed. And when they say profound things, they say, well, that's just my wife, or that's just my husband. They're looking at the person and miss the point. Miss what God is saying. They didn't retain the word. But Israel could have went either way. The Laodicean church could have went either way. But two of the spies inspired the people, and 10 of them made them doubt. So when you're 50-50, it's dangerous. Because once you go 51% to the left, that's it.
One quick thing. We need to recognize a pattern why Adam and Eve fell. Satan has one power and is powerless. It's the power to deceive.
Yeah.
Because what he said was, did God really say that?
Yep.
This is the same thing, sowing seeds of doubt and unbelief. And when they accepted that as truth rather than what God had told them, then the falling away came. And then death came. It's the same. same thing that happened with the Israelites. It's the same pattern. Jezebel, you see, Jesse the plan is the devil is an old devil, and he doesn't have any new tricks.
No.
We need to.
It's a domino effect.
Yeah, you recognize that pattern, and you can keep a whole lot of evil out of your life.
Once you receive something that's wrong in your heart, it interferes with the truth.
Yes, it does.
And a lot of people have missed it because of doubt and fear. They're looking at the people like Saul, and they get out and they, okay, Lord, I know what you said, but I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it with the people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I thank the Lord that we're going to go forth. We're going to recognize the body. Mary got a word. That's just a blessing. And I ain't surprised. I knew she had one. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for every soul that yields to you. I thank you for every person that has a mind to follow you. And I pray that you are tremendously blessed and deploy those that you can deploy in your wisdom. And be with them and help us to do all that's in your heart. And kill the problems of old. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Jesus.